Father. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we come and study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that we'll take that word that brings forth life on the inside of us and we'll share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival of this nation. We thank you, Father, for revival of this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healing taking place in our midst. We thank you, Father, for everything that you have done. Father God, we thank you tonight. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight, your anointing that's here, that saturates us, your anointing that changes us in an instant. And Father, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there taking a couple days off. We thank you, Father, for re-energizing them, helping them. And we just thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God, you may be seated. Amen. Like Greg said, you know, this week is Thanksgiving. And actually, normally, this time, I'm normally speaking here in Oklahoma City, I normally do a Thanksgiving message, but I'm not going to do that today. But I will say a couple things about Thanksgiving. First of all, you know, why don't you actually have a good time at Thanksgiving? And thank God for your family. You know, a lot of times it's interesting how families, you know, they get together on different holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever, and all they do is argue and complain to each other. You know, and I get it. Maybe some of your family members, you know, maybe they don't believe like the way you believe. Maybe they don't like the same football team that you like or whatever it might be. But you know what? It is good to really enjoy time with our families. And, you know, as we get older, you know, I think it's even more precious. And, you know, I thought about it, you know, at one time growing up, I only really had one of my great-grandparents, but, you know, that then I had all my grandparents. Then pretty soon one grandparent wasn't there, and then another one wasn't there, and now I don't have any grandparents left, you know. And, you know, I thank God for my parents I still have. I know, but many people my age are losing their parents, you know. And you know, sometimes we don't think about it, you know, as we're younger. You know, a lot of us now are older, and, you know, we want to cherish the times that we do have with our kids and grandkids and, you know, family and friends. You know, just, you know, it's always a wonderful time. And so don't spend your Thanksgiving arguing, you know, but it's a time to give thanks. And, you know, and I mean, think about it is, you know, some people in the world, that's the only time they give thanks anyway, on Thanksgiving. So you know, but, you know, we should give thanks for our family. And I realize that every family's not perfect. Probably no family's perfect. We all have our flaws. But you know what? God gave you that family. And so, you know, you can enjoy the time. But what I'm going to do, and I know some of you watch us online, but I'm going to minister the message I ministered this morning because it was such a powerful, impactful, timely message. I realize some of you might have already saw the message, but you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's okay to hear things over and over again because the more we hear, the more it becomes a reality in our life. Amen. So, the message I did this morning, I started in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And I know I read the scripture quite a bit, but let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and reading from the New King James Version. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, understand, it doesn't say that we shall direct our path. It says he shall direct our path. And so if he's directing our path and we're not, then why are we trying to direct our own path sometimes? So many times whenever we're facing situations, trials, circumstances, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Well, if it's we're doing something, then he's not directing. And so what we need to understand is that we have to trust the Lord with all our heart. Well, what does that mean? You trust God. And That's all you do is you trust God with everything you got. You know, the New Testament scripture for this is Mark 11:22, have faith in God. And I always point out that's also the same as on your money. In God we trust. So what do? We trust in God with all our heart. Now, when we trust in God, understand, if God can't take care of it, nobody else can. Do you understand? This is the same God that one day saw an earth that was null and void and said, you know what? We need light. And there was light. It's the same God that saw that there was no life at all. And he breathed into the dirt and man was formed. And then, of course, we know that he took a rib of man and created woman. And, you know, and he created so many things. I mean, this is the God that created everything to begin with. And so why can he not help you in your situation? Obviously, God can. But the thing is we're going to have to let him do it. Well, what does that mean? Just trust him. And like I said, we sing so many songs about how we trust him and how he can do it. But do we really believe that whenever we're in the middle of our situation, our circumstance? You know, and we can say with our mouth we believe, but whenever you're at home by yourself and everything seems to be caving in, next thing you know, you're on the floor crying. Saying stuff like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? And what God is saying, you know what? Just let me. Just trust in me. Now, interesting part about it is, trust the Lord with all your heart. And the next verse, the next part of the verse is, and lean not to your own understanding. So what he's saying is, I realize that it might seem like it's not possible. Like it might seem like you're in an impossible situation and there's no way that it's going to happen. That's what you understand. But it's not about what you understand. It's about what my God can do. Now, you understand that we, in life, we believe in education. And, you know, if nothing else, probably most of you have at least a high school education. Some of you have college education. Some of you might even have, you know, a higher degree education. Some of you might have went to a trade school and you're educated on you know, welding or this or that or whatever. But, you know, and I believe in the world that we all always ought to be educating ourselves. And, you know, that's why I have become a Googleologist. I don't know any other Googleologist because I don't know that Google even has a word for Googleologist. But you know, on a daily basis, and it's funny because I keep saying it, but I keep doing it. Like I said, I know I did it 3 times last night. You know, things I hear on TV, sometimes things I run across when I'm online, you know, on Facebook or whatever else. I'll read things or I'll see things or I'll, you know, and I'll Google it. Like I said, I was watching a show many of you probably have seen. It's called Pawn Stars. It's where people, they bring all kinds of stuff and they try to. And so I was just like interested in where this, you know, before the expert came and tell them all the thing about it, I already Googled it. Now, I might not have been a real expert, but I had Google. You know, and I was like, you know, I was just really interested in a couple of the items. You know, they were old and, you know, why? And I mean, you know, why was this done? And all kinds of things. And, and I do it all the time. And the reason is I always like to keep learning, you know, because the more we learn, the more we know. You know, and that's why, I mean, I know a lot of people that are, that recommend, especially a lot of people in business, that you should read books all the time. I mean, you know, so I started reading comic books. It didn't really help a whole lot. I switched over to magazines because they're a whole lot easier, I do read some books, but, you know, not probably as many as I should. But it's good to learn things. But sometimes we learn so much that our natural mind won't let go. Because we've seen, we've been around. We've seen how things work out. And, you know, it looks like it's not going to really work out for the good. And like I brought up this morning, a lot of times, anybody ever watch Dr. Phil? Dr. Phil McGraw? You know, one of his famous questions is, you know, they have people on there and they're, You know, they're doing all kinds of stuff, trying to self-medicate themselves or figure out how they're going to solve their own problem themselves. And they'll usually ask this question to these people. Well, how's that working out for you? Well, usually it's not very good. Well, sometimes it seems when we trust the Lord with all our heart, the devil starts asking the Dr. Phil question, how's that working out for you? In the natural, it doesn't seem like it's working out very good. And we feel like the people on Dr. Phil that ask this question, they're like, but you know what? When you're trusting God, it's like, you know what, Dr. Phil, just ask God. My trust is in God. And maybe it doesn't seem to be working out for me. But, you know, like I said, the devil strikes, not just the devil, other people. Well, you know, how's that working out? Well, you have to speak in faith. It's going good. Really good. Really good. You know, that's your faith speaking. Because there's so many times, I mean, you're like, I don't know how it's going to happen. I really don't. But, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we have to make it happen. It says we have to believe. In fact, Mark 9:23 says, only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. It doesn't say to make it happen. It says believe. So, you know, really, it's above my pay grade how it's going to happen. I don't know. And there is many times that I just don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how to make it happen. And I'm just going to trust God. Because God cannot and will not fail. But you have to understand, you know, what will happen is, you know, these questions will come to your mind. You know, and I'm not, you know, understand there's a difference between faith and facts. And a lot of times, you know, you hear facts and they're true. You know, I mean, we're not talking about fake news here. We're talking about real facts. All right, you know, we hear real facts and all of a sudden our mind begins to like, we can't comprehend. Well, what do we do? Well, that's when you have to put on the mind of Christ. That's when you have to renew your mind and quit thinking like you think. Think like Jesus thought. You know, understand that Jesus, whenever he walked the earth as a mere man. But he had the greater one on the inside. He had the mind of Christ. And that's this, you know, that's what we have. We had the mind of Christ. And we don't have to listen to the garbage. The Dr. Phil question. Doesn't matter how it seems to be working out for me. What matters is my trust is in God. It's really kind of interesting because after it says not to lean on my own understanding, because really what this is saying right here is that, you know what? You're going to go through situations and you don't understand how you're going to come out positively on the other side. But you need to trust in God. And then right after that, after it says not to lean to your own understanding, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. What does that mean? Just thank God. Whenever your brain begins to say, I don't know how it's going to work, whenever everything comes against you, what do you need to do? Praise God. Thank God. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. So thank God. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done in my life. Thank you, Father, whenever I face other situations, you've got me through those. And thank you, Father, that it will be the same this time, each and every time. You will get through. You will help me get through it. I don't know, you know, what to do in my own strength and my own might. But you know what? It's not about me knowing. It's about me believing. But see, at that point, it says that he will lead and guide and direct our path. He'll help us. You know, but I'm here to tell you, you're going to face times in your life that you don't know what to do. You know, and I think sometimes when you listen to many different ministers speak, you kind of think that they've never faced a situation where they don't know what to do. And I think that's an issue because I know a lot of them personally, and I know they face situations like that. But unfortunately, they don't tell you like I tell you. I face them all the time. And I want to let you know, I face those situations all the time. But what do? I believe God. I believe God. I remember one time that we're having a financial crisis at the ministry. You know, things weren't looking good on a financial situation. You understand when it comes to our ministry, and this is our ministry as a whole, not just our church, but the church actually was going pretty well, but the economy in the, you know, in the economy wasn't really going really well. And you understand people support our ministry in our school from all over the world. As you know, Oklahoma is going pretty good, and our church offerings weren't very, they weren't down that whole lot, but the East Coast and the West Coast, and they were hurting. Well, which, it caused us to be hurting too. And so my dad, one time, I was traveling with my grandfather, and we just got back from a meeting, and my dad called me and said, come to my grandfather's office. And so I went to my grandfather's office, and then he went to tell us some, about some facts. I mean, just talking about what's going on, because he'd been home, and he it wasn't that he was worrying. He just wanted to let everybody, know what's going on in the situation. And so I figured my grandfather, being the oldest, that he would have some kind of words of wisdom. Now, if you know my grandfather, and it's really hard because if you hear him preach, you're thinking, man, the guy has lots of words, but really he didn't. I mean, if you know him on an individual basis, he didn't have a whole lot of words. I mean, when it comes to his own words. Now, the only words he really had was the word of God. And so, my dad talked about him. He was just laying out the facts, laying out, the economy, laying out what's come in and, and where we're at financially. And, not that he was worried, but he was just laying it out, and I figured, well, I'm waiting for my grandfather to give us all some really, good words. And he just sat there. So me being the youngest one, I spoke up. And, actually, I was looking out the window, and of course, my grandfather couldn't see it from his, his angle in the office. And I said, well, I guess we just do what the faith shield says do. We just believe. I said, and actually, it hit me at that moment in time, whenever I looked out the window and saw that, and if some of you have been to our campus there in Broken Arrow, on top of our church building, we have the faith shield, which is actually this logo right here. It's a faith shield. We put it on everything. That way you can have your own shield of faith at your house. But, the great thing about it is that probably that is the tallest thing in Broken Arrow. I mean, you can see it from all over. But, and I said, it's so amazing for people who pull on campus because, when you can look up there and say, when everything else is falling apart, we can have faith. And that's what I just said. I said, I guess we're just going to believe God. And so everybody agreed with me. We prayed. And believe God. So my grandfather still said nothing, but sounds good to me. He was a man of a few words sometimes. But I the way I answered is probably the same way he would have answered it, because that's what we have to do. We have to just trust God. When it seems like it's not going to work, we trust God. The Bible says there in Ephesians, having done all the stand, that we stand. I mean, that's what you just do. I mean, you just thank God and trust him, and we put our trust wholeheartedly in God. And so as I was looking at these scriptures, I wanted to get a good example, and God gave me an example of doing this very thing, actually an example from the Old Testament. I want to turn to Daniel chapter 3, Daniel the third chapter. And many of you who know the Bible, this is a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And, it's interesting. Today's generation doesn't always understand Bible stories. And in fact, there is a lot of confusion now in today's generation. And people say, well, did that really happen? Some people mix up Bible stories and fairy tales. I mean, it's Jack and the Beanstalk, the fiery furnace, Daniel the lion's den. I mean, it's, But no, fairy tales are fairy tales, all right? Jack didn't really have a beanstalk. Well, he might have had a beanstalk, but he didn't climb up and go up to some magical place or whatever, But the fiery furnace was a real situation. And just to kind of remind us, in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar, or I like to call him King Neb, he was the king of Babylon, And at that time, that there were some Israelites there in Babylon, and Some of them had actually got a lot of favor with the king and been promoted to some good jobs or whatever. It says, King Nebo made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and width is 6 cubits. He set up that in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So he basically put up an idol of, I think, of himself that was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. I've always thought it was of himself. I don't know who it was, but it doesn't, you know, but it preaches real well to say he put the ultimate selfie up in a field. Understand, we're talking about 90 feet high. You realize that that's like 9 stories. All right, 9 stories, you know, tall. A big image of himself. And then he said, we're going to dedicate this thing and we're going to call everybody and together and then verse 4, when everyone was there gathered together to dedicate this image, it said, then a herald cried aloud, said to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So they played the music and everybody bowed down. And I don't really think it was because they really liked King Neb. They just didn't want to burn in the fiery furnace. All right, said, well, okay, I guess I'll just bow down to this image, So, like I said, in the land there was some Israelites, and also there were some tattletales. And verse number 10 says this. It says, these guys came and to the king and. First of all, in verse 9, they said, O king, live forever. They were trying to, butter him up real well. And they said, verse 10 says, You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery and symphony, with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Well, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. So here it is. Understand, these are 3 younger guys. They have been exalted in some power and authority. And, at one time they were well-liked by the king until this day came along. So King Neb, in verse 14, he spoke and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And then he says, verse 15, Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, little g, who will deliver you from my hand? So basically what he was saying was, he said, okay, guys, maybe you didn't hear what I said. Maybe you guys are I know you're younger, but maybe you need a hearing aid. You didn't really hear the music or I said it should be in symphony. And so maybe you thought the harp and the lyre, they didn't really match up really well. So this wasn't the right time to fall down. So maybe you didn't understand or maybe you were talking or maybe, when I was trying to, we were playing this music, you were on Facebook tweeting out, my great image or something like that, and you didn't understand, so I'm going to give you another chance. And when I do, You know, this last, this, I mean, you know, I'm just being nice here because I told everybody else they get one chance and one chance only, but I kind of like you guys a little bit. You know, I'm a little mad at you right now because you didn't want to worship me because, you know, I'm awesome and the king. You know, what God is going to deliver you from my fiery furnace? And so, you know, understand that these kids, they weren't trying to, you know, I say kids, I mean, they weren't necessarily, you know, 16 or something like that, but they're younger people. They weren't trying to be mean or rude. They respected the king, but they just also, but they respected the Lord more. You know, and you know, we're not supposed to bow down to any other image. And so verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, you know, so he's basically saying, you know, there's no reason for you to play the music again. We heard the music, all right? But, you know, we're not going to bow down. He says, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve, notice I put the big G there, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But verse 18 right here really tells us what it is. It says, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. So basically, he says, you know what? We're fully committed to our God. You know, like it says in Proverbs, we trust the Lord with all our heart. Because even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. I'm fully committed. I'm fully sold out. Now, you understand that it did not seem possible that they were going to make it out of the fiery furnace. You know, fiery furnaces, you know, usually aren't really good things. In fact, after you die, if you choose to be cremated, they put you in a fiery furnace. Then they give you your family ashes. You know, if that's what you choose to do. Usually fiery furnace is not a good thing. Unless you're at a place and you have no heat and you want to get warm, then maybe fiery furnace is a good thing. Just don't get inside of it. Or don't let your animals get inside of it or anything else. You know. But also, too, you know, like I said, I'm a very curious person. What was this fiery furnace for anyway? Was this like a normal thing that we put people in this thing? I mean, it was... Or just was the furnace inside the castle. I don't know what it was, but anyway, everybody knew about it. It was a hot place. Not as hot as hell is going to be, though. Anyway, this is the most stupidest thing I think anyone has ever done in verse 19. But this is what happened. This is a great example of what happens when people get mad. People get mad. They do dumb things. Dumb things cause a lot of issues. And it's happened to you and I sometimes. You know, we get mad at each other. A lot of times, too, when someone makes you mad, then what you usually do is you lash back out at them. They say something mean, you say something mean back, they return with something mean, and pretty soon you guys are all out, you know, going at it, saying mean things. And sometimes it's really hard to get over all those mean things that are being said. Now, what's even worse now is social media. Used to, we had a room. People would say mean things to each other. And there's only, you know, these two people, maybe a few other people in the room that hears those mean things. And, you know, and okay, but now we have a thing called social media. And people put mean things. And the whole world gets to see the mean things. And even comment on the mean things and say more mean things. And it gets worse and worse. And people comment, you know, and they even, it was mean. Now it's really, really mean. You know, and then some people say, but you know what, I can delete that, you know, but you better not be someone famous. If you're somebody famous and you delete it, somebody's already seen it and they're going to repost it. And that's the one thing I have respect for President Trump. When he tweets something, he just keeps it out there. It might be mean, it might be rude, maybe he probably shouldn't have said it, but you know what, he at least owns it. He doesn't like pull it down and stuff like that. You know, everyone else is pulling all their stuff down, you know, they say mean things and they pull them down. You know, and that's something we have to realize. And, you know, sometimes we have to navigate differently for the world we live in. And, you know, if you happen to be someone that is online quite a bit like I am, you know, I just, you know, if for some reason I get upset, which is not very often really, I don't really get upset Probably the only people making me upset sometimes my kids. I don't know why. Sometimes they push the wrong buttons but you know, I still love my kids so much, you know, so nothing really I could do. And I wouldn't say mean things about them online because I love them that much. But you know, the thing about it is if you're mad, you shouldn't, you know, get online. Same thing, you know, hopefully now you have this problem, but you know, I have some friends that are really not really in church a whole lot. They happen to be out drinking, you know, with some of their friends at Corrales, and they write things online that they wish they probably wouldn't have the next day, you know. And so, you know, the thing about it is, if you can't say something nice, just don't say it online. All right, and you know, because it's a whole lot worse. You know, it's a whole lot easier to apologize to one person than it is to apologize to the whole world. And all right, and also thank God you're not as famous as some of these other people who do these kind of things. Anyway, but verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. That was an issue. He was really mad because these guys weren't going to bow down. All right, and the expression on his face changed. Now, I have been there before. Like I said, whenever I've been joking around, I can think about sometimes, you know, I say my kids can make me angry. I've been joking around with my dad sometimes or my mom, and all of a sudden, when the expression of their face changes, then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't really mean it. I'm just giving you a hard time, you know, because when the expression of the face changes, you usually, you know, wrath comes out. You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to try to get to a point where our expression and our face never really changes. You know, and usually probably the best thing to do is when we get to that point is leave the room or do something, you know, before we say something, you know, mean, mad, or whatever. Anyway, the expression changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, he used to like these guys. He actually put them over some areas of the kingdom. But, you know, he put a big statue of himself, and he thought everyone should bow down to him, and, you know, these guys didn't because, you know, they know that they're not supposed to because they were fully committed to serve the one God, the one true living God. Anyway, but he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Now, understanding that they were going to die, according to the law of physics or whatever, or, you know, at 1 times. All right. Now we're not talking about 2 times hotter or 3 times hotter or 4 times, but we're talking about 7 times hotter. That's a lot. And I gave an example this morning of my kids in my swimming pool. And my swimming pool it's not a big pool, but it's a whole lot bigger than a hot tub. Well, sometimes whenever it's, you know, late spring or even, you know, early fall or whatever, and we haven't really closed the pool for the wintertime, my kids said, you know what, we're going to go swimming, and I have a heater. Actually, for a while, I didn't have a heater in my pool because my kids kept doing what they're doing right there. So they said, you know what, forget about turning up to whatever we think is a good thing, like 80 degrees or whatever. Let's just turn it all the way up. All right, all the way up. Now, one thing is it's expensive to heat an open pool. That's a pretty, I got in my pool one time, you know, whenever I'm like, oh, my kids are out there swimming, it must be pretty good. My pool was hotter than most people's hot tub. I mean, it's like 100 and something degrees, a swimming pool. Now, that's really good till you, especially, you know, might feel good till you see the bill it costs to heat the thing. You know, and the thing about it is I didn't know it was all the way up and till a week or two or after, you know, because my kids, you know, weren't smart enough or dumb enough or whatever to tell me. You know, but you know, and I kept telling them, you know what, if you just turn it, you know, to 80 degrees or whatever you want it to be, it's not going to heat up any faster. And, you know, hey, I mean, you know, I really don't want to heat a pool up to 80 degrees or more, but if, you know, if you just really have to be out there and swim, okay, I'll do that. But turn it down after you get out of the pool. You know, because it's expensive to heat, you know, swimming pool at 80 degrees, you know. Now, they didn't do this when they were still on the ground outside, you know. But you know, it cost me some money, and you know, actually ended up breaking my pool heater. So then for a couple of years, you know, show you where our pool's not going to get hot, and, you know, it's going to stay cold all the time. But thank God that we live in Oklahoma, so it don't matter, you know, summertime it gets hot, so it kind of feels good when the pool's a little cold. So, but I finally sprung for another heater. My kids got older and figured they're not going to mess my heater up anymore. Anyway, but he turned it up seven times hotter. And I don't know if he thought about it. The number seven is God's number anyway. So I'm not sure if he ever thought about that, but it's kind of interesting that he picked the number seven. Because he could have said, let's go three times hotter. Or four times hotter, or just let's do double. You know, but then he even made, you know, then he said this, he commanded certain mighty men of valor. We're not talking about the weak guys. Because if it was me, okay, sometimes hotter, okay, get me some scrawny guys or whatever. I mean, you know, you can handle this, you know, these guys. No, he got some of the mightiest guys in his army and got them to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. But the problem is because King Neb was so mad and turned it up to seven times hotter that when they cast him in, these guys died. Said, you know, it says that he commanded them, you know, in the cast of burning fire. Then these men were bound to their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command, verse 22, was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys died because the king made a stupid decision, not only to turn the furnace up seven times hotter, but to get some of those greatest warriors. You know, I don't know if he's trying to do a show of power or whatever, but so they died. Now, some of you probably have never noticed this. Verse 23 says this, because I actually will never notice. It says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell down bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. So as soon as they went in, they fell down. Now, when they fell down, probably most people thought that they died too. You know, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished as he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So I want you to notice that these three guys fell down in the fire, bound up. And the only thing that was destroyed by the fire was what was binding them. That was the only thing got destroyed. Because see, when the fourth man came in, now also thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, as far as I know, King Nebuchadnezzar never had a dream and saw the Son of Man. Never saw Jesus. But however, he knew it was the Son of God walking in the fire. And so that's pretty interesting that this king knew that Jesus was with them. You know, but it's so interesting that they were walking loose in the fire. I mean, they were bound up, but now they're loose because, you know, when Jesus comes in, it looses from all our chains. I mean, and we one time we were bound and in the middle of a fire, next thing you know, we're free. And the fire has no power over us because if we keep reading, it says this. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, probably not too close because he didn't want to die, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came in the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and king's counselors gathered together and saw these men, on whose body the fire had no power. The fire had no power. It didn't touch them. The only thing it touched was what bound them. And I actually believe it wasn't even the fire. It was the Son of God that took care of that. You know, and it goes on to say that the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Now, I want to give you my singed hair story. A number of years ago, I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and I actually was, I said it was a friend, I was actually over at my cousin's house, and my aunt and uncle, they had a house where they had a fireplace in their bedroom and also one that, in the main family room. Well, it was kind of getting a little chilly, you know, it was fall time of year, you know, probably about this time of year, but it was a little more chillier than it is, you know, now, and it was... My aunt asked my cousin, said, can you light the fireplace in our room. And of course, my cousin didn't really want to do it. So I said, well, I'll do it. So I walked back there and he followed me because he didn't want to do it, but he followed me. I don't even know why. You know, and my aunt was, she was in the kitchen doing something, you know, but she wanted to warm up so whenever she got in the room, it wasn't going to be so cold, you know, and she didn't have to turn on the heat or whatever or turn it up. So I go back there and, you know, it's a modern day fireplace with gas. So I turn the gas on, I go to light a match and it didn't light I couldn't get it to start the fire. And there was another match. I lit that and didn't start the fire. So I was out of matches. But that's okay, there's another fireplace, so I went to the other fireplace to get the box of matches. Now, what I didn't think about is that I left the gas on. All right, not a good thing. Not a real good thing at all. So, I mean, I came back in the room, you know, and my cousin's about as dumb as I was, so he didn't really think about warning me. He's actually actually sitting on the edge of their bed, you know, griping about it. He didn't want to do it, and you know, he was thanking me for doing it. So you know, so I get, you know, I'm waiting for fire. I light the match, or I mean, as soon as I just barely lit the match, all of a sudden, kapoof! I mean, it was like a flash of fire all around me. But you know, thank God, I remember I went to school and the stop, drop, and roll thing. Well, it just so happened that there was a bedspread right there, so I figured if I was on fire, my cousin would take the bedspread and cover me all up, but I really wasn't on fire. But my hair was singed, my eyebrows were singed, but the worst thing is my nose hairs got singed. Now, the good thing about it, my nose hairs didn't stick out. The bad thing about it is they were singed. And I don't know if you ever singed hair, but it smells like smoke and things like that. And, you know, when your nose hairs get singed, it's really not very good because I don't care what kind of cologne you put on, it smells like sin's nose hair. Well, you know, like sin and sin's nose hair or whatever. And I mean, you know, for a little bit, I mean, I smelled like smoke. I had to go get a haircut because my hair was all, you know, it was all weird. And good thing I didn't, you know, that time I used a lot of hairspray and stuff like that. I didn't have a lot of hair product on my thing. And then some of you might remember Michael Jackson did that and he ended up burning himself. I really wasn't on fire. I was more of in a flash fire. I mean, of course, we were screaming and everything. Now the fireflies never actually ended up lighting. We turned the gas off, and my aunt came back there because we were screaming and yelling. She didn't see what happened, but she smelled it. When she walked in the room, she could smell my burnt everything. My clothes didn't get burnt, thank God. You know, but I learned a lesson never to do that again. You know, the last time I've ever singed my nose hairs, I mean, I think I singed all my hairs. I mean, all, you know, my arm hairs and you know, everything. You know, it was bad. Felt like an idiot too. Then everyone was like, first when I got home, my dad's like, "Why did you do that?" I said, "Because I'm like 11 or 12 years old. I don't mean, I'm not very smart." But you know, sometimes if you do something, you'll never do it again. But you know, something else too is, has anyone ever been, you know, everyone ever been camping? You've been in a campfire, you know, your campfire. I know. A lot of times we'll have campfires or whatever. You know, someone's playing. You know, I'm not playing music. I don't play any, you know, unless it's the radio. I don't. But someone brings a guitar and people sing. I usually just listen to them sing because I don't want to mess up their singing. You know, but you know, afterwards, you know, they put the fire out. You walk away. They're like, man, I smell like smoke. Or some of you, I mean, you know, a lot of you guys are old enough. You remember when we had non-smoking section, smoking section. And I, you know, couldn't stand it because, you know, I didn't want to sit in the smoking section, but sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll just take first available because I'm hungry. You know, but there are sometimes even, it's in the non-smoking section, but I'm so close to the smoking section, I still smell like smoke. Anyone ever had that happen? You understand, these guys were in the middle of the fire and didn't even smell like smoke. Probably one of the biggest miracles in the Bible. I mean, just the fact that they didn't smell like smoke in the middle of the fire. And I like it how it says here, the fire had no power over them. You know, they were in the fire, but the fire wasn't on them. They were just walking around. And now, like I said, because it was such a day and age, I mean, you know, nowadays something like that happened, you know, we'd have somebody said, "Here we are on the scene. at the fiery furnace. And we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're going to ask them all about their situation. You know, and they could tell us if it was hot or not hot. And I don't know if it was hot or not hot. I know that nothing happened. They didn't get blisters. You know, because one of the first, anyone ever burnt your hand on the stove? I've done that probably more than once, which is stupid because, you know, you should only do it one time. But, you know, what happens is that, you know, some of these new weird stoves, they don't show that they're hot until you touch it. And then it's hot. You know, but sometimes what happens is my wife or my mom, you know, said, hey, don't touch the burner, it's hot. But you know, we don't listen half the time, you know, until you, or like you're doing something in the oven, you know. I mean, I do a lot of baking. You know, I do those Pillsbury cinnamon rolls that you could buy from a can, or the canned biscuits, you know, made from scratch. I scratch myself while I open the can. Hey, tell you about the canned biscuits. My grandmother always liked to make biscuits and gravy for me and my sister whenever we go to visit. So one time, she got up extra early, made biscuits from scratch. So we were there eating the biscuits. I'm like, Grandmother, did you run out of the canned biscuits? Last time we had breakfast biscuits from scratch. I said, you know, we could have sent Granddad to the store and got some canned biscuits. I would have gotten and went with him if he would have told me, you know. So anyway, you know, so lo and behold, I didn't really appreciate homemade biscuits at the time. I like homemade biscuits now, but at that time, canned biscuits were the thing. And so there have been times I've, you know, took a pan out of the oven, burnt myself. And in fact, you know, Thanksgiving's coming to come up, and I'm, you know, that's the only time I help cook every year because I get to help eat, and I'm pulling things out of the oven. You know, it's easy to get burnt. But these guys weren't burnt. They didn't have any third-degree burns, second-degree burns. They had no-degree burns. Now, what's even awesome about it is, is this right here, verse number 28. Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, spoke and saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach. Now, here we have the big G here this time. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trust in him, and they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. Forget about the fire now. We're going to cut you into pieces. And their houses shall be made an ash heap because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, you know, understand, this is history. This is not just some fancy story that somebody made up one day. This really happened. Now, here's what the Lord told me, and I've never understood it. I mean, I understand the fourth man in the fire. I understand that Jesus is always with us, even in the middle of our fire. But here's what I didn't understand or didn't think about until this time, is that, you know, a lot of times when we're going through life, trusting God with all our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, you know, in our own minds, we're thinking, well, God, I trust you, but don't let me get in that fire. Save me before I get in the fire. Because if I get in the fire, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But see, these three guys said, you know what? I don't care if we get in the fire or not. I have so much trust in you that he'll deliver me. Because you know what? If they wouldn't have gotten the fire, we wouldn't have seen the miracle. It took the fire to show the miracle that actually was so awesome that changed King Nebuchadnezzar forever. But, you know, if God would have saved them before they ever got in the fire, you wouldn't have seen that. You know, and so sometimes we wonder, well, why do we have to go in the fire? Why do we have to fall down? You know, why do we have to be bound up? But see, you're asking why when God's saying, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the fire or not. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. It doesn't matter that it looks impossible. Understand that I'm always with you. And see, what happens is because we don't see Jesus. See, what we do, we see fire. And the fire that we see seems like greater than the Jesus we don't see. But we have to understand that greater is he that, you know, that's inside of me than he's in the world. And the power that's with us is greater than any kind of power that's coming against us. You know, and so even if we fall into, get into the fire, it doesn't matter because the fire has no power over us. The fire only has power over us if we let the fire have power over us. But if we trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, the fire has no power. Now, here's the thing. We have to understand that even though we don't see the fourth man in our natural eyes, and you know what? We don't even know if these three boys ever saw the fourth guy. It says the king did. They never interviewed, you know, Shadrach and Abednego. We don't know. We don't know if they saw it or not, but you know what? You don't have to see Jesus to know he's with you. We have his word. It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you even before you get into the fire. But he's with you in the middle of the fire. He's with you every situation you ever face. You know, and I get it. I mean, you know, so many times we're like, well, but, you know, I don't want to go in the fire. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You trust God with all your heart. You lean not to your own understanding. And, you know, come fire, come flames, come floods, come whatever it might be. God is going to lead me out of this situation. And it's going to be a testimony that people will see. And it will change not only my life, but other people. Because, you know, when people see something like this, it totally makes them see, you know what, God is real. You know, but the Bible says the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. You know, and so many times we don't really act like all things are possible. We think, well, it's possible as long as we don't get in that fire. And Lord, you know if we get in that fire, it's going to be tough. You know, you understand, things aren't too tough for God. Now, it might seem like it's too tough for you, you know? Well, you know, they say fight fire with fire. You know what? No, fight fire with trusting in God. Trust in the Lord. Doesn't matter how hot the fire seems. You know, I mean, I go back to Psalms 91. It talks about thousands will fall to one side, 10,000 the other side. You know, and think about that. I mean, you know, as soon as these other guys fell dead, I mean, think what their own mind was thinking. These other guys are falling dead, and we fell down. Not only fell down because they pushed them down or why they, but you know what? They didn't stay down very long because they fell down all bound up. But all of a sudden, they begin to rise up, and they begin to walk in the middle of the fire, and the fire had no power. But they were still in the middle of the fire. They were just walking around, you know, praising God. Do-do-do-do, where we, you know, walk around in the fire. That's what the king said. I mean, they're walking around. I mean, they didn't even walk out. They could have walked out of the fire. Maybe they thought it was so cool they're walking in the fire. Why walk out? I don't know. But to think, I mean, think about that. I mean, think about being there that day. If you're there that day, you probably actually bowed down. That probably wouldn't be a good thing. But God will forgive you, I guess. You know, because you know, unless you were one of them, then you would be in the fire with them and, you know, then you know, you'd be the guy testifying on the news. I mean, you know, this is what really happened. You know, but the thing about it is, it doesn't matter if you're walking through a fire. It doesn't matter if you're bound up on the floor of the fire. You know, because, you know, it probably wasn't a good place. It didn't seem, their own understanding didn't seem like they were going to walk out of that furnace that day. How could they? They were all bound up. But praise God, when Jesus came in, they were not bound anymore, and they got up. So if you're facing the fire tonight, maybe you just need to get up. Maybe you just need to get up and start walking. Instead of having your pity party, start walking around, praising God. You know what? He set me free. You know what? You know, God is more than enough. He's provided everything that I need. These situations, they're only temporal. You know, that fiery furnace was only a temporary situation. But you know what? After they came out of the fiery furnace, they were exalted and lifted up. And not only were they exalted and lifted up, the king commanded anybody else that comes against their God is going to die. I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, this is a non-Christian king. But he saw the power of God. You know, interesting part about it is that, you know, why can't we see that power? Because see, you know, we're waiting for something spectacular. Some people are waiting for, you know, well, I'm just waiting on God to come and deliver me. Well, he's with you. He's always with you. You don't have to wait on him. He's there with you. Just trust in him. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter how hot it seems. It doesn't matter how hard it seems. It doesn't matter if it looks impossible. Luke 18:27, the things that are possible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. All we have to do is believe. Doesn't matter. Don't lean to our own understanding, but just trust in him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that you're always with us. And we thank you, Father, that you're there in the middle of the fire. You're there in the middle of the storm. You're there in the middle of the flood. But Father God, we thank you that the message we spoke tonight will come back to our remembrance when we're facing our own fires and our own situations, our own circumstances, that we'll remember that you're always with us, that you're always helping us, that you're always leading us, you're always guiding us, and you will always direct our path, and we'll just trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how it seems like, that we will overcome. Father God, we thank you tonight. If there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that tonight they make him Lord and Savior of their life. Or maybe there's someone here tonight that at one time walked with the Father, but they've kind of turned their back and they went away, but they want to come and rededicate their life to God. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved at all, you don't know the fourth man. Or maybe one time you walked with them, but you've kind of went away and you want to rededicate your life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know the fourth man in the fire, that you know the Son of God, that you know Jesus Christ. Father God, I don't see any hands, but we thank you if anyone is here. We thank you for laborers to come across their path on a daily basis. We thank you, Father, that they will come into the salvation knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Well, praise God. Is there anybody here that needs healing in your body? If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We want to pray for you, you know, because it's no fun to be sick. Amen. And one thing that we do is we minister healing to people. So if you're here tonight and you need healing, come down here. We want to pray for you. Amen. We also have some prayer costs that we're going to pray for as well. Let's come over to the side. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Just stretch your hands out toward these folks. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God. We thank you, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for touching her life. We thank you, Father, for ministering to her like never before. We thank you, Father, that it'll all be okay. We thank you, Father, that for the basurva sanda. We thank you, Father, for healing her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In the name of Jesus. Did you come down for yourself? Yourself or somebody else? All right. Father God, it's okay if I touch it? Right, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for the healing power of God working in Pam's body. And we thank you, Father, for touching this tooth. And we thank you, Father, for the pain to be gone. We thank you, Father, for just touching her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Stretch your hands out. We have some prayer cloths we're going to pray for. Father God, we thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing in these cloths. And we thank you, Father, laid upon these bodies. We thank you, Father, that these bodies will be well and healthy. We thank you, Father, for complete healing in this dog, complete healing in these lives. We thank you, Father, for ministering to them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And we thank you for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Amen. We're so glad you joined us tonight. I know we have some first-time visitors. We're glad that you came here. Usually, every Sunday night here at 6 p.m., it's myself or my parents are usually here. If you're a first-time visitor, we have a connection team. They're going to take you. They're going to give you a special gift. So connection team, just take them, give them that gift. We just want to thank you for coming and being a part. Amen. Well, you know, like I said, it's Thanksgiving, and please, you know, enjoy yourself, eat some food, watch some football. Hopefully watch the Dallas Cowboys somehow find a way to win. Hopefully they find a way to win tonight. You know, but whatever, it doesn't matter whether they win or not. What matters is you have some time with your family. Don't argue with your family. Just have a wonderful time with them. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll see you later.